will or it won't. Let's, there we go. That's not what I was expecting. I'm going to just flick through some of these. Come on, one more. There we go. So yeah, I was explaining, that's why you don't see very many men in the film, it's because they're off working. And we've explained, haven't we, about the water shortages. So let's go on to the next one. We've been courageous enough, it says, not to sell our land. So a lot of the land has been sold to these big industrial plantations of palm oil. And to work it, to produce whatever we can. There are a lot of threats to sell, but our efforts as a community have kept us unified. So as you can imagine, they're pressurizing them to sell their land. And the reference in the film is made, isn't it, to people coming to their country and exploiting their resources. Palm oil, as I said, is not native to Guatemala. It's a very water-hungry crop. And it's difficult for us to avoid because it's in absolutely everything, isn't it? From ice cream to peanut butter. I'm sure if you've read the ingredients of stuff and tried to avoid palm oil, it's quite hard to do. But just because it's hard to do doesn't mean that we should give up. The reason that this information isn't clear in the Christian Aid film is simply to protect those people making the film from possible repercussions from the powerful industrial farming lobby. So access to water is a huge challenge for Aurelia's community. Sources close to them have dried up or become polluted. And Aurelia is clear about the threats facing her and her neighbours. And this is quite bleak. Water is life, she says. As the plants are dying, the next thing that will die is us. So it really is a real struggle for survival for this community. And with the death of the food crops, joy withers away among the people, as it said in the book of the prophet Joel. For farmers like Aurelia and Amelia, dying crops mean food stops. When Amelia, the young woman I mentioned before, can't grow a range of fruit and vegetables due to extreme temperatures and drought, her children then miss out on the vital nutrients that they need to thrive. All she can give them is rice and tortillas, which is a diet that will lead to malnutrition. My plantations, this is a quotation now from Amelia, my plantations have been dying due to lack of water and there is no food for my kids. The temperatures are also very extreme. Usually cacao is a drought resistant crop, but even that is dying in these conditions. Joel's prophecy gives us words to express our own grief and sorrow over the devastation of the natural world, in our case, due to human greed and indifference. It can be very hard to feel hopeful in the face of the climate crisis, but just as Aurelia hasn't given up hope for her community, we cannot allow ourselves to be overcome by despair. And hope can be hard work. It's a little bit more than positive thinking. It means taking a realistic view of the challenges and struggles and continuing to believe in the possibility of a better future. Giving up or turning away would be easier, but that's not an option for Aurelia. And part of her reason for hope is the training that she's received from Koyukop that she shares with her community. I would like to look at slide. This is the knowledge that she's studied. We looked at this slide before and I explained what the various things are. Can we go on to the next? No, oh dear, goodness me. I would like to look at slide number 16. It's not got a number on it. Oh, miss me. Never mind. Right. So now we move on to our reading from Mark's Gospel. And the disciples have just completed preaching and a healing tour. They've gone around all the villages and they return full of enthusiasm to tell Jesus all about it. It's been a very demanding mission, and perhaps they're stretched to their limits. And Jesus knows that they need to rest. They've enjoyed hospitality in some areas, but hostility possibly in others. An unwillingness to listen, a turning away from truth. So when they return and tell Jesus all about it, he suggests they need to be somewhere away where they can rest. But instead of that, a crowd gathers and grows, wanting more from Jesus. So you can perhaps sympathize with the disciples who, longing for peace and quiet, at the end of the day, come to Jesus and say, "This is a deserted place and the hour is very late. Send them away so that they can go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But Jesus challenges the disciples, "You yourselves give them something to eat." "This is impossible," they said to him. "That would take 8 months' wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" There is no suggestion that disciples, in fact, have access to that kind of money. And also, even if they had, they're in a deserted place. There are no local supermarkets. Supplying food for 5,000 people can't be done in half an hour. You need planning. You need preparation. And to the disciples, therefore, it must have looked as though Jesus was ignoring the practicalities of the situation. To the disciples, it's self-evident, isn't it, that this problem is simply too big for anyone to solve. According to the UN's Food and Agricultural Organization, in the world today, more than 7 million people are facing hunger, and many more are grappling with food insecurity. And hunger means that those people are undernourished. They do not have a sufficient amount or variety of food to get the nourishment their bodies need. Food insecurity means that people do not have reliable access to a diversity of nourishing foods, enabling them to enjoy a healthy diet. In Guatemala, more than 40% of children experience malnutrition that affects their development. And it seems that these problems are too big to solve. But what does our reading show today? It shows firstly that the disciples got it wrong when they assumed that Jesus was proposing the impossible task of buying enough bread for all these people. Instead, Jesus asked them to find out what they and the crowd already have between them. Then they share what they have. Miraculously, it's not just enough. It's more than enough. And all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets of leftovers of broken pieces of bread and fish. And this is justice, isn't it, in the kingdom of heaven. Everyone shares and everyone has enough. This is God's kingdom breaking through into our everyday lives. What could be more everyday than sharing a meal? So Jesus gives us a glimpse of a world in which everyone is included and everyone has enough. It seems an impossible dream. But Jesus' words are deeply practical. You yourselves give them something to eat. Jesus challenges his followers to work, to join the work of the kingdom that breaks into our everyday lives. In our story from Mark, the disciples don't let their doubts stop them from acting. When Jesus asks them to go and find out how much bread there is among the crowd, they go. The means to feed the crowd does not come from nowhere, but goes from what they already have. Likewise, in our own lives, Jesus takes what we have and turns it into more than we're able to foresee or even imagine. Like Ali said in your prayers today, and it's from the letter to the Ephesians, where St. Paul gives us an inspiring description of God's work. Him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or even imagine. And you know, I'm sure, that when God answers prayer, it's most often in a way that is totally unexpected, not even imagined. Like the disciples in Mark, we may find ourselves overwhelmed by the need. We want to avoid responsibility for the needs of others. We want to send them away. But Jesus says, You yourself give them something, and we can call on the God of hope. Then what little we have can be turned into abundance. The power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. Farmers like Aurelia and Amelia are showing us the way. Their abounding hope for a better future for their communities drives them to learn and to seek new solutions to the challenges they face. And we can follow in their footsteps and turn our hope into action for change. Amen.